In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, it's one thing when you've got to put up with long sermons. And then you have a long gospel like that. So I'll try to keep it a bit shorter this week. I'd like you to just to think for a moment on those words we heard from our reading from the Epistle to the Romans. And it's in verse 8. But God proves his love for us, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we are sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I just want you to bear that in mind. When we were sinners, while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died, and that death is remembered as we celebrate the Eucharist. That Christ died proves to us his love. That he rose again shows to each one of us the power of that love. The whole Lenten, Holy Week and Easter experience is that death, which is love, and resurrection, which is power of love. And so how does this relate to the readings today? What we do has consequences. And too often, when things go wrong and wrong again and wrong again, it's a result of the consequences of our own actions, of our own thoughts, of our own being. In Exodus, we heard those beautiful words in which God's action brought life in the living waters from the place in the desert where you would not expect water. Israel's thirst was quenched from the water of the rock, and they received life. God gave them waters of life, even though one would have expected the consequence of their action to be quite different. What was their action? Well, this took place in what came to be known as Meribah or Manasseh. The place was named Manasseh from the Hebrew verb to test. Who was tested there? The people of God? Or did the people of God test him? It was called Meribah, from the Hebrew verb to find fault. These names became the memorials. It's recorded, you'll remember, in Psalm 95. Memorials of Israel's faithlessness. And yet God gave them the water of life, flowing from the rock. Actually, there's a great amount of water beneath the surface of the rock in that place, but they would not know it. But God gave them, in reality, here in this story, the very water which gave them life. They had rebelled And his answer was to love them. And his answer was always to love them, to bring them back to him, that they might know him, and they might know not just the power, but the satisfaction of that knowledge. They could live a complete life. Not so clear, perhaps, how this passage in Romans can be so easily related when we have that common theme of the water of life, the water to quench our actual thirst and the water to quench our thirst for knowledge and acceptance and being. But Romans is about consequences. It relates to the consequences of God's action for us, the consequences of what God has done. Justification is by faith in Jesus Christ. And it's as simple as this. When we rely absolutely, when we rely utterly on God's grace and not upon ourselves, we have a gift. What is the gift we have? Think about it. It's actually the gift of absolute peace. Peace in the knowledge that in fact it isn't a gift which we bestow upon each other, but it's a gift bestowed by God the Father, which we know so especially, so beautifully, so wonderfully in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We rely utterly on God's free gift of life. Peace. Peace which is, first and foremost, a state of reconciliation, a state of harmony with God in Jesus. And of course we return to that theme which St. Paul so much uses and gives us so beautifully, that theme of hope. Hope of what? Hope of glory in that peace. Hope of the glory of God in which we are to share. Remember the story in Exodus. Though we fall short, though we had fallen short of that glorious destiny which Moses reminded his people of, intended by God for them, intended by God for you and for me, we now find ourselves confidently expecting it. Christ, in his death, brought to us the reconciliation of God. As it is, we who are estranged are brought this gift by God. And so in a sense, you see, the imagery is now complete. We drink of the water of life. What is that water of life? It's true participation, true acceptance, true spiritual knowledge that we actually participate in the life of the risen Lord. You and I participate in the life of the risen Lord. And that's why at the beginning I was able to say to you, as I said to Peter about his special priesthood, you participate as the priests of God. That's your purpose. That's your life. Live it. You know peace. You know utter fulfillment. And what do? We participate in his present life. His present life of resurrection. Are you looking toward eternal life? Or are you living eternal life? Are you looking for eternal life? Or are you living eternal life? And so we move on to John. Gosh, that's a passage and a half, isn't it? I mean, you could preach for this for about 4 or 5 hours, and then you'd have to get started. But let's focus on those words. He speaks about fresh, running water. In contrast to what? Think about that Samaritan woman trudging to that well time and time again, dropping the bucket down, hauling it up. And what have you got at the end of it? Okay, it's water, but it's pretty ropey. It's been there for ages. It's stagnant. The stagnant water of an old, very old, she said how old it was, a very old storage system. And so we have the image of Jesus speaking of himself as the living water. And the living water is the perfect metaphor of eternal life itself, constantly renewed. Think of water running through a tap. I went out coughing and spluttering this morning, and Mary said to me, "Oh yes, you know, you just need a good, clean, fresh glass of water." And what a revival. Could allow you to go on for hours. I asked you, are you looking forward to eternal life? Or are you living eternal life? The waters of life which Jesus gives us are the waters which we drink here and now. It becomes a part of who we are. Waters are life-giving. We need water to live. That good, beautiful, fresh living water, even from our taps, is a perfect metaphor for that. Have you realized that the gift of eternal life is already yours in him? We share the risen, the eternal life of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Those born of the Spirit are imbued with eternal life. Rejoice in that, my brothers and sisters. Enjoy and show it. You are the priests of God in this world. They need you. But they need you to recognize who and what you are and what you have to give. The Samaritan woman comes just to a shaky, a very tentative faith. And then she begins to share it. She caught something of the nature of priestliness. The Samaritans listened to her. They listened to her testimony. And then they're encouraged to listen to the very word of Jesus himself. Many believe. You've got a wonderful vocation, my brothers and sisters. Christian priests in the Church of God, the priesthood of all believers. Take it, live it. Use it, enjoy it, and in so doing, learn to enjoy this beautiful, often troubled, but beautiful world. Let's see the beauty in it. Let's make it all the more beautiful. You do something to me, you people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.